Hebrews is an amazing book if you've never sat down and read it in its entirety. And I think that's the fallacy of most people, that they don't sit down and read scriptures in its entirety. They read little books or pamphlets that are inserts of what scripture, and then somebody comes and tells them what it says. Instead of sitting down and reading scripture in its entirety and letting the Holy Spirit teach you what it says, see, that's the only way you get faith. Faith has to be given to you so that you can believe. So that when you believe, your life becomes a wreck. Because you have to come to the end of yourself, and it's through that belief that Jesus is who he is and who God says he is, that then your life takes on a turmoil so that you come to the end of yourself so that God can teach you, so that through the word of God, you have the faith to carry out what God says, not what you think. It says, therefore, and this is in chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance of sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance a race that is set before us. We don't teach that. We teach, well, just say a prayer, and if you believe it hard enough, you're saved. Well, that's not what this says. It says that there is a race set before us that's going to require endurance, that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and that you know that if God doesn't give you the Holy Spirit and baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, then you're not his child. This is that race that he's talking about running, and we don't know when that happens. Jesus Christ couldn't define when that happens in our life. He said it was like the wind. He says, you know that the wind comes from somewhere and it goes somewhere, and you see the presence of it, and he says, so is being born again. So we, as the arrogance in our religion, we are trying to define for people when they're saved. And according to Scripture, you can't do that. That's totally against Scripture. And all religion is against Scripture. Remember that. Because religion is man's attempt to please God, where God says, you can't please me in the flesh, so therefore we need to give up all this religious stuff that we have and begin to have and desire that relationship and run this race of endurance that has been set before us. Sin does entangle us so easily, does it not? Why? Because it's our nature. We sin because we were born in iniquity. And so therefore we do what we do because that's what we are. And so when religion comes along and says and convinces you that you're something else, and yet you're struggling because you're not something else, you don't have the nature of God that has been given to you by God in his grace and his mercy, then we're living this life of turmoil, not growing in the Spirit, but we're fighting against the Spirit, trying to convince God that in our flesh that we're going to please him. And the Bible is very clear on that. You cannot please him in the flesh. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of faith. So what is faith? Remember the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So the assurance is that I don't have any doubt. When I'm assured of something, there's no question. And Jesus Christ is the author of that, because God gave him the right to be the author of that. You see, he's the only place where faith comes from, is through Christ. And he's the perfecter of it. So again, as we try to perfect this faith in the flesh, it can't be perfected. God is the one that has to perfect it in us. And he does that through the work of the Holy Spirit. He does that through his word. That's why he sent the helper. Remember what he said? Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go. He says, because when I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that will convict us. the world of their sin, not the church. Do you hear that? It's not the church's responsibility to convict you of your sin. It's the Holy Spirit's. But if you're not in the Word, then the Word can't get in you, because you can't get faith, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word. So he's the author of it. He's the perfecter of it. Who the joy set before him. He endured the cross. So what was the joy that Jesus Christ had? That you and I might be reconciled back to holy God. That we might become his righteousness. So because of that joy, he endured the cross. Listen to what he endured. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So his joy was obedience. See, the reason I think we have so much, dismal attitude and apathy in the church is because there's no joy. And the reason there's no joy is because there's no obedience. We're not listening to God's word. We're not reading it and then applying it to our lives. We're trying to have this God that allows us to remain as he found us. When God accepts you where you're at, because you can't be anything but an enemy of God, and he accepts you as that enemy of God, but he doesn't leave you as an enemy of God. He gives you a new nature. And through this new nature, you now walk by faith in what God demonstrates through his word to us, which we find is impossible to do, which then brings around the tribulations and the testing and all this stuff that he talks about to prove our faith to us so that we know that we are who we say we are. And he's at the right hand of God interceding for us. We need no man to intercede for us. Do we understand this from a spiritual standpoint, that you don't need to have a whole lot of people praying for you when Jesus Christ is the intercessory? I will pray for you if you ask me to pray for you, but it's Christ who is interceding for you, not me. I have no special ticket to God or special privilege to God. I am just a simple man that was born in sin, that he redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That's all I am. I have no special pipeline to God. Jesus Christ is the one that intercedes for us, and he's interceding for us because of our sin. It says, "For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary." See, it's so easy to grow weary. We look at ourselves and we say, "Poor, pitiful me. Look what I'm going through." When he's comparing it to what Christ went through, someone who knew no sin, that would come sin, that would be rejected by his father, that would be beaten to a pulp, that you could not recognize him as a man. And he says, you haven't even sweat blood yet in because of the situation that you're in. And yet we're so easily complaining about all the things that's going on in our life, and we forget the whole purpose of life is so that we know that he is God. You were born to know that he is God. And there are things that he has to do in your life so that you look up to him. He has to bring each and every one of us to the end of ourselves. It says that those that are poor in spirit are the ones that are blessed. But it's easy to grow weary, isn't it? This race is not something that we can run in the flesh. And those that don't endure to the end will not be saved. His word's very clear on that. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. It says, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, have you? See, we think it's about going to heaven when the whole point of this is that you strive against sin in your life. God hates sin. God will never condone sin. And yet our world is creating a God that says, I understand. No, God doesn't understand. God doesn't understand why he sent his son and you're still in sin. God does not understand that. He cannot figure that out. Why in the world did I take the time to send my holy son to redeem you back to myself and you're still in sin? I don't get it. He says, he doesn't understand that. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. So if you can remain in sin and not be disciplined by God, you're not his child. How do I know that? Because I'm getting ready to read that. Nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. You know what scourges mean? Make life difficult. Look it up. Brings distress. He brings distress on every son whom he receives. See, the religion has so turned it around about you receiving something, does God receive you? See, we need to understand this truth. Matthew chapter 7 says, depart from me, I never knew you. So it's not, do you know Christ? It's, does he know you? Does God know you? And he can only know you through his son, because he only deals with us through his son. There's no other way. Christ said, I am the only way. There, no one comes to the Father but by me. And we forget those passages of scriptures and how all this comes together. But if you can live in sin and you do not have a desire to worship, and every Sunday is the same, then there is a problem in your life and you need to sit down with God and say, God, why? Why is it that I am not desiring to fight against the sin in my life? Why is it I do not desire to be there every Sunday when the church gathers together to lift up your holy name? Why? Why can I go and live my life as I want to, and it doesn't bother me? Why am I not being disciplined by you? Why? The world has forgot to ask this. And you better ask it. Because if you're not being disciplined by him, you're not his. How do I know? Because it says it is for discipline that you endure. Remember that race that was set before us? Now it's because of discipline that you endure. I get off the path. He needs to correct me. He's got a rod. He leads me by the rod. You can either decide to be led by the staff or led by the rod if you're a child of God. The staff, you willingly obey him, and you just follow him. The staff, he has to discipline you with it. It's a rod. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Our world today does not see discipline anymore. We're letting children run the household. We're letting children dictate where we go on vacation, where we want to eat, what we do with our money. It's all about the children. Have you noticed it's all about the children? There's no discipline in life anymore. In the schools, they don't discipline your children. And yet God says, you're going to be disciplined. And then we wonder why our children don't turn to God, because we're not teaching them about God's disciplines. If you do something wrong, there's going to be discipline. Just because God forgives us of our sin doesn't mean there's not discipline. This is proving that, is it not? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Do you know what an illegitimate child is? Huh? We don't talk about that anymore because it's too personal. It hurts people's feelings. It means you're not a true son. That's not your true father. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? This about us being dead in our trespasses of sin and desiring to be disciplined by God because we cannot walk that narrow road in the flesh that we were born in. It has to be through the Spirit, and He has to discipline us to keep us on the proper path. And if you can live contrary to God's word and do all the abominations and do not come and worship Him and thank Him for what He has put His Son through for me and you, and if worship does not mean anything to you, I'm just saying, you better ask God why. Just because you lip service God, and just because you say God this, God that, God this, Jesus this, it's gotten to the point where it's all about Jesus. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that Jesus has become a religion? Because the Jesus that most people are serving are not glorifying God, but they're just glorifying Jesus, and Jesus Himself did not even consider equality with God. For they discipline us for a short time, it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our own good so that we might share in His holiness. Wow. There's more to this than saying a prayer, isn't there? Let's look at Hebrews 5. Begin in verse 1. He shows you here that He takes away all the preachers and all the priests. The only reason we need a preacher is to tell us what God says, not some preacher to come up with some great sermon that with trickery of men to try to convince you to buy a vacuum cleaner, okay? Jesus Christ is not a vacuum cleaner. And I do not need to sugarcoat what God's doing here. What happens in religion, we sugarcoat it because we want people to join our church but not be born into the church. There's a big difference in being born into the church and joining a church. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men, and things pertain to God in order that offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So again, these priests had to offer sacrifices for themselves. They had to consecrate themselves. They had to become holy. And then they presented all these sacrifices to God so that they could, the people could be forgiven of their sins. But this priest should be able to deal greatly with the ignorance and misguided, since he himself also is beset in his weakness. So what's happened is these earlier priests in the biblical times when Moses and Aaron were there, they had to do this to humble themselves because God showed them that they were unholy. And they had to do these things to be holy. So now they could have compassion on the other people that came for the forgiveness of sin. We don't see that much today. Somehow preachers think they're above sin and they think they're above the discipline of God, and they think that they're ruling over people, telling them people what they should believe and telling them what Jesus Christ said you should believe. You've got to stop listening to pastors and preachers and teachers. And you need to check out what they're telling you. You don't just need to the preacher said this. Well, that preacher might be wrong. I had a lady in my office this week that told me that their pastor stood up and said there's no hell. That there's not a loving God that would create a place called hell. And also said that God was probably a woman. This is being preached, folks. And you got people sitting there gobbling this garbage up. because they want their ears tickled. They don't want to hear that you can't do anything about your sin, that you're hopelessly, helplessly lost. And unless God opened your eyes, you can't receive this. So religion says, just say a prayer. That's not what this is saying. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people as also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So many pastors put themselves on pedestals and think that you're to serve, they'll be served by their congregation. No, the pastor was called to serve the congregation, not to be served by the congregation. So also Christ did not glorify himself. You get that? Christ did not glorify himself. Christ did not glorify himself. Christ didn't glorify himself. So why are we glorifying him? If the Son of Holy God did not glorify himself, then why are you? So also Christ did not glorify himself as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You're my son. Today I have begotten you." Just as he says also to another passage, you're a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. We don't know a lot about Melchizedek. It says he has no beginning, no end, but at some point in the days of Abraham, there was this godly priest that God put on this earth. That's all we know about it. And Christ was like in that order because he came from God. That's the whole principle of that he came from God. He has no beginning and he has no end. He was there with God in the beginning of creation. And he'll be there at the right hand of God for all eternity. In the days of his flesh, listen to this. Talking about Christ. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears. You think Christ's life on this earth was a pleasant one? It says right here, loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. You know what piety means? Reverence. He had respect for the Father. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm the Son of God. You better listen to me. I'm the Son of God. You better do what I tell you." He actually had reverence to God and only did what God told him to do and only said what God told him to say. But he knew that God could save him from the death that he was born to die. Matter of fact, he was in the garden. He prayed three times, "God, if there's any other way to do this, let's do it a different way." But you know why? Because he knew no sin. And he was going to become sin on our behalf. And God would have to reject him. And he would go down into Sheol for 3 days and release the spirits. And God would raise him up. But that moment of rejection, Jesus Christ could not stand the fact that his Father was going to reject him. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. And you don't think that you're not allowed to suffer? And it's through obedience and discipline that we learn to obey God and know who God is. This fallacy of, "Hey, turn your life over to Christ and things are going to be great." No, that doesn't exist. That's a lie. His own son suffered. And there's other passages of scripture says that you also will suffer with Christ. And we suffer in this body of sin, and the battle is sin. And he's the only one that can conquer that, and that's what he did on the cross for us. And having been made perfect, who made him perfect? God made him perfect. He became to all those who obey him. What is this about? Obeying him, the source of eternal salvation, and this prayer doesn't work. This prayer that man's telling you to say doesn't work. This says it's obedience that leads to salvation. Nowhere in Scripture can you find to say that prayer. I challenge anyone to show me where it's at. It's not there. But yet we listen to people who are lying to you. Satan is the author of religion, and he's trying to convince you that you're okay with God. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. You don't need to tell your sins to a priest. You go tell them to God. Through his son, Jesus Christ. Concerning him, we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. See, our world has become dull of hearing. We do not want to hear this. We do not want to be put into a difficult situation. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. This is what God said. And if you don't take it serious, and you don't begin to, as he calls you, to explore and seek him, instead of just listening to a lot of preachers out there and teachers, you better start listening to what this actually says. I will venture to say that hardly any of us in here have probably read this. We like to read those little pamphlets that take inserts of, oh, this is how loving God is. Oh, look at here, this is really good. Become motivation. Most preachers have become motivational speakers today instead of sharing the truth of God. And people are going to stand before him. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to be cast into outer darkness. For though this time you ought to be teachers. He was upset with the church. These people have become so dull of hearing, they're going to take this great gift that God gave them, and they're going to do what they want with it. And they become dull of hearing. You ought to be teachers. You ought to be teaching other people the truth of God. But you have need of, again, for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ is milk. Born of the virgin birth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, and raised in 3 days. Folks, that's just the tip of the iceberg. That is just the tip of the iceberg. See, people like to hang on to that cross. They like to hang on to this love of God. But they don't understand what the love of God is doing for them. They don't understand what the love of God requires of you. You're given a new nature to walk in accordance to the holiness of God, not go to heaven. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. See, those immature people that just need milk, they can't stand a sermon like this. They want to hang on to the fact that they're going to heaven. It doesn't matter. Oh, they'll mention God a lot. People that mention God a lot are in trouble because they're not living the life that God has called them to live. If you live the life that God calls you to live, you shouldn't have to talk so much. People should be able to see. Well, as you tell us, win without a word. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the righteousness as an infant, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. If we're not practicing God's word in our life and failing in the flesh, okay, do you hear me? It's about failing in the flesh. God wants you to fail in the flesh so that he can make you something greater than that and make you into a spiritual being by a new birth experience. We have to fail in the flesh to get this. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to the maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance, dead works, faith toward God, of instruction about washing and laying out of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Let's get past all that. Let's talk about what happened on that cross. Let's talk about how is it affecting you. Has it made you a new creature? Do you have new thoughts? Do you have new ways to look at things? Do you have a desire to become righteous and be the righteousness of God in this lost world? You cannot wait to come and worship. As long as it doesn't mess up what I've got planned. And we'll do this if God permits. Real quick, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay? I didn't write that. The old things have passed away. All things, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God. Are from God. Are from God, not Jesus Christ. Jesus was just an instrument. The Holy Son of God that God used to bring men back to himself. All these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. I'm just backing up what I'm saying. Huh? A lot of people have never heard that before because they've never read God's word. They read what man tells them to read instead of reading God's word in its entirety. Himself through Christ who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now that's what our responsibility is that we carry the truth and the word of God. Namely, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and he committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. But we don't speak for Christ. See, that's the difference between the ambassador of the United States and the ambassador that God makes us. See, we have this idea that ambassadors speak for the country and represent the country. An ambassador of Christ only says what God says. He doesn't get to speak for God. He speaks the word of God. Big difference. Big difference in being an ambassador of Christ and ambassador of the United States. The ambassador of the United States takes liberty in speaking for America. We have no liberty to speak for God. We have no liberty to tell people what God's going to do in their life. We have no liberty to tell people that they're saved. That's not what the ambassador is supposed to be doing. The ambassador is simply supposed to be saying the truth of God and leave the milk soon so you can get on to the mature things so that you can become that righteousness of God. And maybe God will save you. So that's where that fear and trembling comes in at. That we're to fear God. See, religion takes away the fear of God. When it says the love of God is what takes away all the fear. And we've allowed religion to take away the fear of God. As although God were making appeal through us, as we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled back to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so we might become the righteousness of God. It said nothing in there about going to heaven, did it? Did I even say anything about going to heaven today? Religion only talks about going to heaven. This only talks about becoming the righteousness of God. Heaven is where you get to go if you're the righteousness of God.